The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody. How you doing, man?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm all right. Let's see what we'll do here. Wes Reynolds will join us, talk golf and college hoops. With us a little later on the show, Matt Grissom on college baseball. How about that? A little curveball. Carl Sack on the NBA. Spanky will join us later to talk about the host of the Better Betters. That's not the name of his podcast. It's Better Betters. Is that the name of his podcast?
Be Better Betters. I believe that is.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Spanky will be here. He's the founder of Bet Bash as well. He has a contest going on. You want to get into a Major League Baseball handicapping contest? Now that your brackets and Survivor and all that is winding down, you're looking for another contest to play. Spanky's got one over at Spank Odds. We'll talk to him about that a little later on the show. First of all, golf. Minwoo Lee? Yes?
Minwoo Lee!
Nicely done.
Scotty Scheffler, as usual, making the blood pressure medication work. Really putting it to work.
What did you have Minwoo at?
35-1.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was nice outright.
As well. Can we show that tweet? Do we have that tweet ready to go?
We do have that tweet.
It's a VSiN tweet, ladies and gentlemen. Look at this. Congrats to Wes Reynolds. And then in parenthetical aside, and Long Shots co-host Kelly Bidlin on Minwoo Lee at 35-1. So Wes gets the shine. Kelly is a mere, by the way. Kelly also got it.
Always nice to know where you stand, Gil? Always nice to know where you stand.
That's great.
In the parentheses.
Congrats to Gil for fighting a cold. Kelly cured cancer this weekend. It's just so great.
Worked here for 8 years.
Good for you, man. Congratulations to both of you on Minwoo, who you were a little upset was like a little too excited before he shot in his last putt. The little, three-incher?
Yeah, I didn't really spend much time on golf Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a betting thing that maybe I'm just the guy overreacting. But he needed two putts to win. First putt off the green, he puts it, 6 inches away from the cup. But he's celebrating like he won the damn tournament already, where he's still got to make this putt. I don't know. I was a little, I thought it was a little interesting how much celebrating he was doing. He did a little fake, the fake putting stance too, to like line up his putt for the last one. He was like, dude, just tap it in already. Come on.
Well, anyway, congrats to Wes.
Thank you.
And Kelly.
Yeah. Congrats, Wes.
All right. Sweet 16 down to the final four. Hope it went well for everybody. Look, we got the four best teams. I don't think there's anyone who can justifiably disagree with that. Apologies to Texas Tech, to Alabama, you name it, Tennessee, but these are the four best teams. And it's the four best teams any way you look at it, right? The eye test is the four best teams. The betting market, it's been the four best teams. KenPom, it's the four best teams. The formula that we run here on the show, it's been the four best teams. So any which way you slice it and dice it, that's been the case. By the way, the combined records of Duke, Florida, Houston, and Auburn, 135-16 straight up. It is only the second time in the history of March Madness where the top seeds, the number ones in each region, get to the Final Four, 2008 being the other one. Just mentioned 135-16 combined record this year. Do you know what the combined record was in 2008 for those four teams?
No idea.
140-9. They were even better.
Wow.
Straight up. That was the year that Mario Chalmers hit the game-tying three. Kansas was down 9 with less than 2 minutes left against Memphis. Derrick Rose only made one of two free throws, gave Chalmers a chance, or Kansas a chance to tie it up. Chalmers did, splashed it, and then Kansas ran him out in overtime. But that was Kansas, Memphis, UNC, and UCLA that year, and they were 140-9 headed in to the Final Four. So, and by the way, I looked at it, KenPom this year, just again, a historical comparison, this group of four, Duke 1-4, adjusted offense defense, Houston 10-1. Florida 2-10, Auburn 3-8. That year, Kansas 2-1, Memphis 6-2, UNC 1-14, UCLA 7-5. By the way, that was the Carolina team that had Danny Green, Tyler Hansbrough, Ty Lawson on it, and the UCLA team with Kevin Love, Russell Westbrook, and Darren Collison back in the day. So anyway, those are the 2 years that group of four beats it record-wise, but KenPom pretty much even. And as far as our formula, listen, it's been Auburn, Duke, and Houston from the first week we've done this. every single week they've been the qualifiers, and every single week Florida has been the fly in the ointment, because the only one of those six criteria that they don't hit is the head coach with previous Sweet 16 experience clause, which has only had two exceptions in 34 years. Famously, Kevin Ollie in 2014 with UConn, Danny Hurley in 2023 with UConn. So Todd Golden trying to be the third to buck that, and the only non-UConn coach to buck that. So good on, in fact, if you know, say what you will about the tournament and its lack of upsets all the way, but at least we got this Final Four. How did you do in the bracket challenge, by the way? The VSiN bracket challenge.
Oh, terrible. Terrible. Whatever we were, when was I in second place? Halfway through Thursday night?
Yep.
Only downhill from there, my friend.
Guess who would be in second place outright right now if he remembered to hit the deadline on Saturday? That'd be me. I'd be in sole possession of a second. I sent Bill Adia. I said, Bill Adia, I said, well, what do you mean? I thought it said 3:30. I'm so stupid. I'm the stupidest person in the world. The game started at 3:09, but there was something on the website that said 3:30, and I immediately in my head got it messed up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the deadline's 3:30. No, they'll be available to view at 3:30. The games had actually started. So I sent him all my picks. Yeah, I'd be sole possession.
You were texting me when I was like driving around. I was so confused. I was like, I am so confused by what Gil's
just
confused
so stupid.
About.
Matt Brown is your leader in the VSiN thing. Matt Brown, regardless of anything, would be your leader. Matt Brown is at first. Ben Wilson, of those who met their deadline, would be in second. Dan Strauss, third. Bill AD. Oh, no. Wilson, Strauss, and AD all tied for second. You're in fifth.
I'm in fifth.
Yes. You're in fifth.
Wow, okay.
All right, you got a puncher's chance. That's just the VSiN thing. The real standings of actual VSiN listeners, and this is for a $3,000 first prize.
Nice.
$1,500 second, $500 third. Dennis McKay. We only got the first three letters of the last name. 27-9-1 for Dennis. Good for you.
Randy's brother?
Maybe. I don't know if it's McKay or McKinnon. I don't know what it is.
All right.
John Chi, Gary Marr, your second and third place, but 27-9-1, is in first place. And remember, these are weighted. So
if you do
better in the Elite Eight than you do in the Sweet 16, than you do in the round of 32, than you do a round of 64, that matters.
Record with a grain of salt a little bit. Yeah.
Cause by the way, just to let you know, I would have been in second with a 17-17-1 record. That just shows you how ridiculous the weighting can be.
I could also confirm this because Gil sent me his entire homework once he missed his deadline.
I will not reveal the methodology of why I went 3-0 in the Elite Eight, but just trust me.
You should have seen me driving around. I'm getting texts from Gil. I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the deadline. I'm like, the deadline's definitely not 3:30 because games started already,
Gil.
And then I got a full handicap from Gil.
Do you ever get a reminder that you are in fact an idiot? That would be mine on Saturday.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, don't worry, buddy.
That happens to me like daily. Yeah.
Anyway, the other thing that now goes to in terms of trends, historical trends in March Madness, because we followed this one as well. Joe Pita did a great job. By the way, Joe Pita's baseball picks coming up as well. Joe Pita on this show Thursday and Friday, 6-1 out of the gate in baseball for over 5 units. So he's got 4 picks coming up. But he did a great job revealing this KenPom tweet. Ken Pomeroy does not tweet anymore, but Joe Pita unearthed this KenPom tweet from before, which is, hey, if you are a top 1 or 2 seed in March Madness, but you also were not in the AP preseason top 25. You are going into this tournament. You are 0-39 in terms of beating your seeding. So in other words, if you're a 2 seed, you don't get past the Elite Eight. If you're a 1 seed, you don't get past the Final Four. If you were a top 2 seed, but not in the AP preseason top 25. And the logic of that is, again, college basketball is ultimately a small sample size season, and there is some wisdom in that preseason top 25, which we forget completely about, and certainly as gamblers, we don't really pay much attention to.
Totally.
Well, St. John's and Michigan State were the 2 teams that were not in the AP preseason 25 and were number 1 and 2 seeds. They were both 2s, and with St. John's went earlier in the tournament, and Michigan State's loss yesterday means it is now 0-41. 0-41 in terms of those teams exceeding their seeding in the actual tournament when it plays out. It's amazing.
That is crazy.
And I think there is something to that. Again, a lot of these trends don't make any sense, but there is some wisdom in that.
I think you broke it down well last week of just you take a step back and it's a lot smaller of a sample size than we all think it is when you just go through a season.
About these spreads now for the semifinals, for the Final Four on Saturday, What you have here is pretty interesting because in the case of Duke, Duke is 5-point favorite now over Houston. This has even ticked up a little bit since this morning.
Nice.
Florida's ticking up a little against Auburn. It's 2.5 now as well. This is surprisingly short because Jani Broome, for those who missed it yesterday in the Auburn game, Jani Broome got hurt on a play where he managed to wrench, by the way, technical term, both his elbow and his leg in landing. And so he did get back in the game Willis Reed style. He did hit a three, which obviously brought the Auburn faithful to their feet if they weren't standing already. That was a big moment in Auburn's win yesterday. But you do wonder what kind of version we will get of Jani Broome, one of the two Wooden Award winning, you know, candidates all year long, along with Cooper Flagg. Auburn 5-1. They are the long shot now to win it all of the remaining Final Four teams. The one other thing that this weekend in this, because the other games, you know, were just abject blowouts, right? Houston held Tennessee to 15 first half points. They led 34-12 late first half. The closest that Tennessee ever got was 50-40. Duke led 15-5 against Bama right out of the chute. Then it was between 4 and 20 points, which was actually a final margin. Bama never made it a one-possession game at any point. But I will say this, that comeback by Florida, I have something to say about that after the break. I'm curious if anybody else noticed. But that was one of the all-time unbelievable comebacks in a game of those stakes. We'll get into that and some baseball. Torpedo bats, anybody? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take your betting to a whole nother level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Want to get some Joe Pita bets in here, Kelly?
Torpedo bets.
Joe Pita bets, not torpedo bets.
I'm just going to say obsessed, that. Like, hey, I'm obsessed with it.
Obsessed with that bet. All right, so Joe Pita strolled. Well, he didn't stroll on in here. I just relayed them. Opening day, he went 3-0. Then he went 3-1 with his Friday plays. And so, by the way, people were asking Joe for plays on the weekend. He's like, nope, just weekdays with Gilly Kelly.
That was cracking me up, yeah.
So he's 6-1 to start things. 6-1 out of the shoots to start things. Plus 5.19 units. Thus far for Joe Pita, he's got four plays today. Let me knock these
unofficial
down.
Numbers game daily Major League Baseball handicapper.
No, there's nothing unofficial about it. These are real
official.
Oh, I thought you said unofficial. Okay,
no, I did say unofficial. It was just Joe. We got to get Joe on the show now. I didn't know he was going to be doing this every day.
I don't think he like wants to come on every day. He's just like, I'll just do them until I start losing. This kind of thing. All right, today he is on. He's got four plays. He is on the Texas Rangers. Who are taking on the Cincinnati Reds. A little interleague play. Joe's got him at -113. You might even be able to find a couple cents better than that now. He is on the Mariners. He's on the Seattle Mariners, also around that very same price. Mariners today at -112. Mariners at -112. Taking on the Detroit Tigers. It's a little higher. It's about a nickel higher than that now. I'm sure Joe would say, please play it still, even only a nickel higher. Padres looking to go 5-0 like the Dodgers. He's got the Padres today at -131. Padres are in some interleague, a lot of interleague today. Padres taking on the Guardians. You might even be able to find that a few cents better. Padres are the play versus the Guardians. And the Cubbies, -125. Cubbies taking on ATH, the Athletics. Cubbies, he got it -125. It's right on that price right now. So those are your four. Rangers, Mariners, Padres, Cubs. From Joe Pita, 6-1 out of the gates. Let's talk some college baseball. We had this gentleman on before the college baseball season began. And if I recall correctly, he will correct me if I'm wrong. But it was Arkansas, Clemson, and Virginia, I believe, were the three teams he seized on for to make the College World Series and then to win the College World Series. Matt Grissom joins us now. You can follow him on X at Grissom on X, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Matty?
I'm doing well. As a Razorback fan and better, coming off a sweep of Vanderbilt, number 14 on the road, First time in Dave Van Horn's history. So feeling good on Monday.
Yeah, Arkansas 26-3 on the season. They ranked second only behind the Tennessee Volunteers in the college baseball rankings. The aforementioned Clemson Tigers 26-5. They're sixth in those rankings. Virginia, maybe not quite the same. Outside of
Virginia is dealing with injuries still, a lot like Florida. Just kind of salvage the season here if you can. Evan Blanco coming back really helped Virginia's rotation. But you're talking about a team that started preseason number two, and they just have not lived up to expectations. But thank God for Texas A&M, because as the consensus number one overall, had a feeling Mike Early may struggle as a first-year head coach. Didn't think they'd struggle this bad. You've got a team that was in the College World Series championship final last year. Most of that team came back, and here they are, just way below 500 on the year in the SEC. I think they finally won their first SEC game this past weekend, albeit they lost the series to Kentucky. So RIP Texas A&M.
You were going back and forth on Twitter with some gentlemen about who you trust right now in college baseball. What's the list?
Yeah, I think you've got to do it. Tennessee, Arkansas, LSU. If you look at the past 10 years, it's typically an SEC team that's going to win it all. You look at teams that are very well balanced. I like to look at Sierra for pitching, XFIP, and then weighted runs created, WOBA, for hitting. I look for teams that are in the top 20 in both, and Tennessee, LSU, Arkansas all fit the bill. And then Kelly Bidlin's Florida State Seminoles are up there as well, and Clemson.
Tennessee. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say there's some other teams like Georgia and Alabama who are absolutely killing the ball. The problem is their pitching staff. Could they make it to Omaha just swinging the bat? Yes. They could get through any regional, super regional, especially if they're in the hosting picture. The problem is when you get to Omaha and you widen that park, you've got to have pitching. And I think I saw where Georgia is giving up 12 runs a game in SEC play. That's not going to cut it, especially in Omaha. So I like Georgia, Alabama to make it there. I don't think they can win it, though, with their staff.
Tennessee 4-1 to win the College World Series. LSU, the aforementioned LSU and Arkansas squad, plus 750. Arkansas, one of Matt's preseason plays at 9-1. Clemson, the other one of his two of his three preseason plays, 10-1 to win it all.
Now, Matt, if one were interested in placing a Florida State bet to win the College World Series, I'm asking this for the audience who's obviously interested, would now be a good time, or should that person wait a little bit here on the schedule?
I would go ahead and do it. I think they're coming off a really tight series this past weekend. They're shaky, but they're always a huge favorite, like absolutely ridiculous. They were minus 1,050 in a game versus Miami. I mean, I had to bet Miami plus whatever it was, 560, just out of principle. And Miami actually pulled the upset, but that's for another day. The problem is these books are so out of whack with the lines. They have Jamie Arnold, who everybody knows about, but then they have a really good, actually, who's been pitching as the ace. Florida State is a very complete team. They're doing well on both sides of the ball. Clemson, I think, is just a little bit better. When you look at a pitching staff, Florida State's is really good, especially for the ACC. So I would go ahead and jump on them. I think they can win the ACC, and that's going to put you in that national seed posting picture anyways.
Is there a long shot somewhere, you know, beyond what you've mentioned where you're like, okay, if things broke their way, they might actually be some team to look at and maybe worth a bet?
Man, I've been trying to talk myself into buying into this Anteaters team. UC Irvine, if they can sneak in and get into like the UCLA regional as a two seed, I think the Anteaters could do it. The problem is NIL has just really killed the mid-major, and we've seen it across all sports. I just don't think they have the pitching staff to be able to win two out of three against one of the top eight seeds. So maybe a bite on them to make the College World Series, but I think you would be better off just waiting on them to get seated in that regional. And that's where you take your jabs at these longer dogs. Like we saw Oral Roberts do it a couple of years ago. I just think it's way too hard for a mid-major or a longer shot to make it to Omaha. It's a tough ask.
All right, for those who are new to this, because we've talked college baseball here on this show for years now, but for those who are new to it, you only have a few games that are being played today, and then tomorrow it's like a massive amount of games. How early do lines come out for individual games?
$1 million question, Gil. Sometimes we get them an hour before the games start. Sometimes you get them the night before. It's super inconsistent. We've kind of chalked it up to maybe it's because of March Madness and them having to have a quick turnaround for these games. But at this point, like, we're lucky to get them the morning of games. So it really cuts your handicapping in half. So to really sum it up, it's college baseball is a very chalky sport. Typically you can make some money in moneyline parlays on the weekends, but during the week, you'll see teams sell out to win. Perfect example. 2 weeks ago, we saw East Tennessee State beat Tennessee to keep them from going undefeated. The week after that, Missouri State, who was sitting at, I think, 10-12 on the year, they beat Arkansas in Fayetteville in the 10th inning. So you're going to have these mid-majors really show up and try to beat their quote-unquote big brother of the state or whatever. That's where you can make some money on some fun long shot bets throughout the week. But we put everything on collegebaseballinsiders.com, all the advanced analytics. You can look at a team like FAU or UTSA who is hitting just well above average in weighted runs created. Use our matchup projector, see how many runs they should score, and try to make some money that way. It's all put out there for you. It's absolutely free to use.
The beautiful thing, collegebaseballinsiders.com. So therefore, do you have anything on any of those few games today? And then tomorrow, I guess you don't have anything yet because they're not out consensus wise.
Right. Yeah. I typically don't bet Mondays. This is my catch up day, adjust power ratings, stuff like that.
Okay. Matt, always appreciate it, man. And still looking at Arkansas and Clemson. They still might get it done. Appreciate it, man.
Halfway through the season. Can't believe it's already here.
Yeah, man. We all look forward to Omaha. Thank you so much. Matt Grissom, everybody.
Thank you.
Grissom on X. collegebaseballinsiders.com. He does a great job, man. It's a sport that was not catered to in the way it ought to be, and he's sort of filling a vacuum with
doing a great job with the site, and man, it's been great having him on the show the past couple years.
Wes Reynolds will join us on the other side, his thoughts on the Final Four, the tournament gone by, and of course Minwoo Lee, another long shot winner for Wes, and in parentheses Kelly as well, Spanky as well, coming up on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the hizzy.
Hey-o.
On this Monday morning. Still to come, Spanky this hour, and Wes Reynolds here joining us. First, though, we get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Trip Tepper. Trip Tepper, who says, I've lost the Trip Tepper tweet. He says, if you think Harlan undersold the Florida rally, and I do, now he's speaking my language. He says, just imagine Grant Hill during that game. Yes, oh no, I've been on board with this. He said, well, Raph, that was quite the comeback by the Gators. Grant Hill is a wonderful human, but can he please say something compelling once? Trip is echoing my every thought on Grant Hill, as I've said on this show many times. Let's see, Joe Abraham, if books ever start posting college softball like they do baseball, those who follow the sport closely will likely have a big advantage on the books. It comes down to predicting who will pitch that day. Chance Copperpot. All right, Gil, I know you don't care about this stuff, but if you're going to have Spanky on, you got to at least touch on the Twitter Spaces wackiness. Spanky is my favorite on there. All right, maybe I will. John A. Cornell Jr., excellent segment with Grissom. Thank you for all the help with college baseball. You said very nice things about me. Great with the guest info each morning. Thank you. Thank you, John A. Cornell Jr. A lot of college baseball love out there for everybody.
It always happens.
It really does.
Whenever Matt comes on and we start talking college baseball with Benny or any of these guys, the tweets flood.
Benny. I like it.
Benny and the Bets.
Benny and the Bets. Talking about Ben Wilson. All right. Wes Reynolds is here, ladies and gentlemen. Always a pleasure to have Wes on. He's part of the glue that holds this whole operation together at VSiN. And once again, after a just unacceptable drought of about a month without hitting a long shot bet in golf, Minwoo Lee is his winner. What was your number, Wes? Good morning to you, first of all.
Good morning, and it's Minwoo lead. Got to do the woo like Ric Flair. 35-1 Kelly with the Elton John songdom there, man. That's my gimmick, Kelly. I'm supposed to be the singer on the network, which is probably why I'm not on the network as much anymore with my great voice.
No. You gotta stop singing, Wes. Yeah,
that's what it is. It's the singing.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you again, Wes, on this. The Masters, but a couple weeks away now. Have we added any Masters bets?
Just a couple. Had Ludwig Aubert already, and that's now down to 14-1. Have a little Justin Thomas. I'm probably, and I hate to do this because he's going to be so short, but it's going to be my annual yearly donation, at least in some shape or form, on Rory McIlroy. I'm probably going to have him. He's going to be the second choice. And, you know, is this finally the year where he completes the career Grand Slam? He's in good a form as he's ever been. He's already won twice this year, won at Pebble Beach and then won the Players Championship, made a hell of a rally actually on Sunday where it's like, you know, I'm kind of monitoring the odds board to see, okay, I've got the good position here. He's a substantial favorite with Minwoo Lee. When do I get out? If I get out, then you all of a sudden see Rory making the run. It's like, okay, not now, man. You know, let's wait for a couple weeks. Okay. At Augusta and made a little rally, just kind of ran out of holes late, but we'll add probably the bulk of the card after the Valero on Sunday.
A tradition unlike any other, the Masters. Speaking of a tradition unlike any other, Wes, there's something called the College Basketball Crown that begins tonight. And when I say a tradition unlike any other, I mean it has no tradition. That's why it's a tradition unlike any other. This is, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, as I understand it, this is a Fox Sports creation. They do Big East, Big Ten, and Big 12. And if you look at the NIT, I think there was only one team from those three conferences that were even involved in the NIT. And this is basically usurping that and creating a 16-team event that begins today. They're all at a neutral site. They're all here in Vegas at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. They're all lined. They're available to bet. This is kind of tricky, though, isn't it, Wes? Because we're really not sure what we're getting with any team here.
Yeah, it is. It is tricky, and this does extend from Monday to Saturday. Saturday afternoon, I believe, before the Final Four gets started, is going to be the championship game. And you have 16 teams. They are predominantly Big 12, Big East, Big 10, because those are the Fox television deal conferences. There's a couple other teams that get put in there to fill out the field. George Washington, Boise State plays today, Washington State, Tulane, Oregon State. So there's a few others, but it is mostly those three conferences. And what is tricky about this a little bit is how many players are going to be available for these teams, because the transfer portal, as we know, did open last Monday, and it is open, I think, I forget the date, until mid-April. Like, next week is a dead, I think the 3rd through the 10th starts a dead period where you can't have visits. You can still contact and talk to players, but you can't have visits on campus. So it's really kind of funky, you know, how they open this thing so early. But it's like, you can't wait until after the season, because you don't know, you know, you're not going to be wanting to wait till like May and June to figure out who your team is going to be. So yeah, this applies in a couple scenarios today. One that really jumped out at me actually was the 3rd game on the docket. That's 8:30 Eastern tip at 6:53-54 on the rotation. And that's Nebraska and Arizona State. Arizona State, I think, is going to have 7 players. Because the leading scorer on the team was dismissed from the team. And also, Jason Sanon has already committed to St. John's, so he's not going to be playing here. So you've got Nebraska laying 5.5 to Arizona State. It's gone up a little bit from the opener. I would lean Nebraska here, and I think I'm going to bet that, because other than Raleigh Worcester, who is the transfer from Utah, who has a season-ending injury, you got a bunch of fifth-year seniors on this team. So I would think Nebraska is going to be very motivated. This was a team that didn't qualify for the Big Ten tournament. And they, you know, you look early in the season, they had some really good wins and beat some really good teams. So I think Nebraska and Fred Hoiberg and those guys are probably the more motivated bunch. So give me the Cornhuskers.
I like it. If Arizona State's only got, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but 7 players available by Wes's calculation, it's not a good thing.
Sounds like a disadvantage
for Arizona State. Yeah, Nebraska -5.5. Tonight. And again, it's called the College Basketball Crown. This is, you know, the sort of ad-libbing here with a tournament here. Fox driven with their three conferences, 4 of the final 16, the only 16, 4 games tonight, 4 tomorrow. And then the tournament continues into Saturday just before the Final Four. Is this one of these things, before we move on to the actual tournament, is this one of these things, Wes, where you think will be a staple from year to year? Do you think it will catch on? I wonder what the attendance will even be like tonight.
Yeah, it'll be a staple, I think, if Fox wants to put money into this thing. You know, that's what it is now, because they had the NIT, of course, which is now owned by the NCAA, where you used to be mandated to participate in this event. And now you have teams basically that can opt out, like players opting out for the bowl season. They have the CBI, which they had last week in Daytona Beach. They used to have another tournament, the College Insider Tournament, which was mainly for like the mid-major teams, that, you know, kids that won 24 games and then they don't get to play anywhere. So that was the tournament for them, but they didn't have enough teams, so they didn't have that event this year. So it's going to stay as long as Fox wants some programming on the air. So, we'll see how the crown goes attendance wise over at the MGM Grand tonight.
Does the team that wins this hang a rafter in their arenas?
Or do I don't know. Yeah,
hang a banner in the rafters is what I mean to say.
Maybe they do. Maybe they do get a crown, like Kelly says, like a Jerry the King Lawler crown that they can put in their trophy case at their arena or practice facility of choice.
I do think it's fascinating. Like, I'm interested to see how this plays out this year, next year. I don't think attendance will be all that great, but I don't know if that matters. If it's a made-for-TV product, like, especially, you're chasing gamblers these days, right? We've all just been betting on the NCAA tournament for the past couple weeks. Any more college basketball? Like, you're going to get people to bet and watch this.
Well, you're going to get people to bet because we're ridiculous people. We're very specific people. But you need ratings, ultimately, for stuff like this. Yeah. Like, nobody watches.
That's what it's all about, is the TV. I mean, yeah. Look, we know, just following some people that we know in the space, that the travel's been down to Las Vegas lately.
Yep.
A little bit. And, you know, for whatever outside economic factors, geopolitical factors, the fact that stuff is so expensive out here in Vegas, it's like, okay, we don't have to gouge on every single thing, parking and whatnot. And people aren't traveling out here as much. At least there was a slip in February. I don't think the crown necessarily is going to turn that around.
Not going to move the needle. That's what you're saying.
No.
Did we have negative numbers for the NCAA tournament opening weekends? Did you guys see any of that? Because I actually felt like it was pretty, it was a lot busier than Super Bowl weekend.
Felt like it.
Yeah. It felt like a normal March Madness.
Yeah. Super Bowl was down a little bit.
Super Bowl definitely felt down.
Okay. Before we get to your Final Four thoughts, the tournament in general, Wes, talking about the March Madness now, of course. Is this what you prefer? I know we all would like to see a bunch of upsets, but if you had to map it out from the beginning and you had to say, okay, this, I want my Final Four to be this, is this kind of what it would be?
I would rather my Final Four be this than to be a bunch of like randomness, I would say. But as far as the tournament goes, I prefer a mix. I prefer not to have necessarily all chalk. I prefer to have, you know, kind of a team that makes its way through the draw that's a higher seed, I guess. I was actually given a trivia question out on X yesterday at West Reynolds 1. I go, who is the coach that made the most Elite Eights? Because the Elite Eight is so brutal, right? Because you're one step away from getting to the ultimate destination. Who is the coach that had been to the most Final Four or most Elite Eights and never been to the Final Four? It was, of course, John Chaney of Temple, who had been five times since the tournament had expanded. And I looked at Temple and I was like, they made the Elite Eight once as an 11 seed, a 10 seed, a 7 seed, and a 6 seed. So you kind of like that dark horse a little bit. I think that that's always a good story, but we have the four best teams in the KenPom rankings in the Final Four. So at least that's going to set up to say, okay, that's a hell of a game. Even one of them, Houston and Duke, number one offense against the number one defense. I'll get my thoughts later, but that we got four really good teams here. And I think I kind of prefer that. Now, from a bracket perspective, when I try to put a little bit of chaos into it, that doesn't do well when everybody's going with the chalk and they're getting rewarded this year.
Yeah, your trivia question, I hadn't seen that. My reaction in my head was, oh, it's got to be Izzo, right? But Izzo's been to 9 Elite Eights, 6 of the times he advanced to the Final Four. So it's not him. It's John Chaney. We'll get Wes's Final Four thoughts on the other side. What he's betting, what he's thinking about betting. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.